We will continue with the book of Revelations, chapter 3, beginning with chapter 8. A quick note about chapter 7. So let's turn to Revelations chapter 3. Yes, we will continue. We will continue with verse 8, but a quick note regarding parts of verse 7. All right, Revelations chapter 3, verse 7. This is about the letter to the congregation of Philadelphia. I believe that's called the city of love, brotherly love, I guess. Brotherly love. Anyway, verse 7 says, And to the angel of the congregation in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open, and no one opens. Just a quick references to that. In Isaiah chapter 22, let me turn that. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. This is, I believe we read that last Sabbath, right? About the one who has the key of David and shuts and no one opens. Then also you will find references in Job 12, which is the one I'll read today. They didn't get a chance to read that one last time. Job's chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. Job chapter 12, verses 13 through 16. Okay. It says, and then pay close attention so we could understand Elohim and again, his dealings with this world and how the governments are in his hand. No matter what they do, they're in his hands. Let's read that. Job chapter 12, verses 13 through 16 says, with Elohim are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, no one can rebuild. If he shuts a man in, no one can open. Verse 15. If he withholds the water, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land. With him are strength and sound wisdom. Listen to this carefully, brethren. The deceived and the deceiver are his. So we have to understand that. When whatever we see going on in the world, don't think Elohim doesn't know what it's somehow out of his hand. No, it's not. There is nothing that's happening in this world that happens without his permission. Nothing. And so the deceived, the people who are being deceived, and the people who do the deceiving are both in his hands. Both. All right. So what's going on in our world today? How many deceptions are there in the world today? Those deceivers are in whose hands? In his hand. Those people that are being deceived today, how many? They're in his hand. So when we pray, that's why the Apostle Paul said, when you pray, you have to pray with the understanding. Because I've been in situations where I notice people are praying against the will of Elohim. They mean well, but they don't realize that they're praying against the will of Elohim because Elohim is actually doing something where he's punishing a nation for their sins, and the people are like wondering, you know, why is this happening? Why is it? No, it's because there are sins. Elohim is the same his son is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's not a respecter of persons. Okay? So like our nation today, this nation that we're in, and wherever you might be, is going through a lot of turmoil. It's because of the sins of the people. It's by their actions that evil rulers are over them. Okay? And if there's a situation where there are despots and evil rulers and there are enough righteous people, Elohim will deliver the righteous people. But when they don't do what they're supposed to do, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, they suffer. And we saw that in the letters that we're reading, that where Messiah tells them, you're doing this well, but you're not doing this right. Correct the problem, otherwise you're going to have problems, right? That's what we've seen throughout all the church, the congregation so far. So Job, which is an ancient book, well, all these books are ancient to us, but ancient even to all the other books that you have here. Some believe it's probably the oldest book in the scriptures handed down to the general public. It says the deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads, continue the same thought, verse 17. He leads counselors away stripped. He makes fools. Like I said during the feast, one of the teachings. Do you notice how some of the most brightest people, you wonder how these people coming from Harvard, from Yale, from whatever, these people in these high positions are making such bad decisions? Not only sinful decisions, but really making bad decisions. Decisions like you can say, it's like they're standing on a branch, but they're making decisions to cut that very branch they're standing on. It doesn't make sense. Right? Oh, man. So, verse 18, he looses the bonds of kings and binds a waistcloth on their hips. He leads priests away stripped and overthrows the mighty. He deprives of speech those who are trusted and takes away the discernment of the elders. Why does he do it? Because of sin. When people are sinning against him, he does that. So we want to see our nation blessed. You want the land. If we want to live right, we're in the position. We have to understand that's where the gospel comes in, brethren. That's the key. That's the key to turning nations around is the gospel. It's not protesting so much. Those people who do that in righteousness, they have their role. But the role of the congregation of Elohim is not to participate in those things. Just like the righteous priest, they had a particular role. And the General Assembly of Israel had a particular role. The priests were not to get themselves involved in what the General Assembly, what the general people were doing, but they ministered to them by praying for them and offering sacrifices for them. And as the people did what was right, Elohim blessed them according to the covenant. So our job is to continue praying for government as we do every Friday and those of us in every day. We pray for these things, and we proclaim the gospel that there's an Elohim and that he wants us to be his family, and his project is working everything out to make it happen. And that he sent his son, the King of Kings, to fulfill all these things. That's how we are going to impact the world. It's not trying to do what the world is responsible for doing. We're not of the world. We're not about teaching about so much history unless it's to make a point about the scriptures. We could use all things that are happening in the world to make our case for the gospel. But it has to be for the gospel. If we're trying to make some other point, we're wasting our times and we're not functioning as the congregation of Elohim. Our job is to use all things, all means, to proclaim the gospel, then both people and governments will change. So let's continue. So you could continue reading that portion of Job chapter 12. Let's go back now to Revelation chapter 3. So it is he that has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. As spoken in Isaiah and as we in Job. So verse 8, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name, my authority. Okay? So he says he knows the works of that kind of the Philadelphian congregation. That particular congregation, he has opened the door for them. Why? Because I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So he has opened, he put the door, he opened the doors for them. Knock and it shall be opened, seek and ye shall find, right? So for us to have opened doors for us in our situation, especially as his servants, to affect the world, we must make sure we know his authority, his name. It's not, again, it's not a matter of saying it in Hebrew. It's not. With all due respect, that's not what it's about. It's about knowing his name, his authority, what it means, and speaking with him and trusting in him in that regard. Those people who say the name of the Savior in the most eloquent, perfect, ancient Hebrew, but believe that Messiah was just a man, they don't know his name. They don't know his authority. They've limited him to just being a man. So it's not enough to say the word in Hebrew. It's a matter of knowing who he was, who he is, and ever shall be. His authority over all things. So he knows that you have a little power. So he knows. So how about our situation? As I've always confessed, I'm very weak in faith and everything. I've repented of my sins. Yes, I have. And I have hope. And by his mercies, his spirit is with me. But I don't regard myself as being a very strong person in any way. But I have hope. Because he says, I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my authority, my name. Are you like that? I believe a lot of you that I've spoken with are like that. So be encouraged. And if anyone else, or better, if you're better than that, great, be encouraged. Verse 9, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Hasatan who say they are Yehudim and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. This is in the congregation of Philadelphia. The Messiah said to the Pharisees and to the elders of that time, you go from land to land and you make them twice the son of, I believe, the son of darkness, for lack of better words. I don't have the text, but you make them twice as worse than they were before. Wow. Were these people Israelites, Jews by the blood? Yes, they were. Were they Yehudim? No, they were not. Because they were not praisers of Elohim. Because a true Yehudim, a true Jew, is a person who praises and brings glory to Elohim. It doesn't matter what your bloodline is. So when he says here, they say there are Yehudim and are not, some people, oh, these were not, as if he's speaking of the flesh. No, he's not speaking of the flesh. He's speaking about their character. Of the flesh, yes, they were Jews. They were. But of the spirit, they were not. Because no one can be a Yehudim. No one can be an Israelite unless Elohim so declares. Because Jacob was not an Israelite. Jacob was made Israel. Not of himself, not of his father. His father did not call him Israel. His father, Isaac, called him Jacob. But when Elohim made a covenant with him, he says, I call you Israel. He changed him because he knew he was going to make him into a different person. He was going to guide his path. And he would indeed be Israel. It's not just a name again. It's not just a matter of, oh, I'm Yashrael, or all these types of things people are trying to do. They think they could make something have meaning by trying to pronounce it in Hebrew. And sometimes they butcher those Hebrew words so badly, it's unbearable. And yet they're boasting of Hebrew, in which they don't really even know. Why do that? It doesn't make any sense. That's not what eternal life is about. It's about repenting of our sins. It's about believing in the good news of Elohim and living the life. That's what it's about. Now, it's great if we're doing all of these, when we do all of these things, and then we better understand Hebrew and Greek or whatever language that is profitable for reproof and doctrine and proclaiming the good news and making a change, spiritual change in the world. Yes, then it matters. But if people are just tottering around Hebrew words and all of it is confusion and 1 minute they're pronouncing it this way, the next, these things are unprofitable. They just create confusion. It just creates confusion. This is about being true. So these were not true Yehudim. They did not bring praise to Elohim. They did not live right. They lie. And that's why everyone who is of the Abraham, who are descendants, true descendants of Jacob, of Israel, who live in sin, who have not repented of their sin, they're cut off from the lineage of Israel. They're not. So if a person is an Israelite and sins and does not repent of their sin, they're cut off. They're as heathens. And one day I'll do a study on the whole nation of Israel. Not Israel, but the nation of Israel. And you will see how they were. I don't know why people are boasting about find there's anything to boast about of becoming an Israelite. Because they are both concluded under sin. Both concluded under sin by his mercy. He concludes them all on their sinners, their hopeless sinners. I will have mercy on both. If he were to judge Israel by the works of Israel, they would have perished. All you need to do is read the accounts of Israel all throughout the Tanakh, all across. You will see how sinful they were. Matter of fact, at least twice I've read somewhere it says they are worse than all the nations. I didn't say it. That's what Elohim said through the prophets. I forgot where I was reading. It's like, you break my commandments more so than all the other nations, and you do even worse. You don't even follow the laws, whatever little bit of laws are there in the other nations. You don't keep them. So where is the glory in being an Israelite? There's really none. Paul told us that how are the Jews better? They're better in a sense, not in of themselves, but in the blessing that was granted them in their keeping were the holy oracles. That's it. Nothing about their flesh and blood. It's just that through them, they have the holy oracles. But Elohim called them they were whoring. Okay, and today people are looking at the end time whore, and they think it's something new, something. No, it's the same thing. And that's the same great religious authority today. They have all these oracles, and as Elohim sees fit, he moves them to release them so his people that are his can have access to them. But there's nothing of the flesh, of any flesh, Gentile or Jew, that is of praise. Nothing. There's only one flesh that was of praise. The body that Elohim created that would die for our sins. That's the only one. All right, so let's not be deceived. and let pride and the enemy deceive us. So it says, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. What does that mean? It's because they were boasting of being children of Abraham, just as they boasted to Messiah when he was on earth. And as if they were special in of themselves, and they did not realize it was the grace of Elohim. But he says, I'm going to show those who say they are Jews but are not that, hey, I love you. Is that a different? No, that's what Isaiah, I believe, 56 says. To the Gentile who has loved me and who wants to keep my Sabbath and who wants to be my fellow worker, right? He says, even the eunuch I will give a name greater than that of sons. Didn't he say that? He did. So it's not a new thing. We have to put the scriptures together and we'll understand. Verse 10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. So brethren, if for us to overcome, we must endure when the temptations come. We must love righteous. We must love Elohim and endure when hard times come in his name, not in others' names. There are a lot of names out there saying all sorts of things, but don't subscribe to those names. Subscribe to the name of Elohim and his son and endure patient. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. These things repeat generation after generation, brethren. Israel had its hour of trial. Jerusalem had its hour of trial. Rome had their hour of trial. And will continue because their weakened state is still here until Messiah remove their rule from the earth. But now the United States and all over the world, there's a big hour of trial that's affecting the world. We have to hang on tight, be patient, and be prayer. If we're not living right, it's a waste of time. We will suffer if we're not living right. We have to live right. We have to repent. And then we can expect the Elohim of covenant to protect us as he says. Verse 11, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Okay, I am coming soon. This is where people get mixed up. They think this coming soon here is about his second coming, like the final coming. It's not, brethren. Elohim has had come many times. And when I do the study on the day of Elohim that I started preparing for, you will see that. Many times he says, I'm coming, and he came. That's not the coming where the heavens will split. This is the coming when he was going to destroy Jerusalem and save his believers from the destruction, all who believe him. When he said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded about, flee to the mountains. Some people are expecting that to happen today. No, that happened already. That happened already, brethren. All right, so let me stop here. So we will continue. He says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. See, an hour of trial will keep you. Speaking to the Philadelphia congregation, in their time, there was an hour of trial coming on their generation. It's not talking about a future hour of trial in that case, even though from generation to generation, as I said, we will all have this trying, all have an hour of trial. We will all generations, but at their generation, he says, hold fast, because he was coming soon for them. That's not the second coming, that final coming, but he was coming for them. And then there are records, as I say, written by Josephus and so on, that show these words to be true. All right, so we'll stop here and we will try to finish this off next Sabbath because we're short of time. Thank you, dear brethren. Prove all things. So I know you probably heard things that you haven't heard before, but search the scriptures. Look, and I encourage you, look at every occurrence of the day of the eternal and you'll see what I'm saying. Because I will do that review with you too when that time comes. So thank you, dear brethren, for listening.